Hey, parents. Welcome back to Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College. We're your host, Mark Struthers, a certified financial planner, a chartered financial analyst, and founder of Sona Wealth, helps you balance preparing for college and retirement. Let's continue our college funding journey.
Welcome, parents. Welcome to another episode of Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College, where we help you down your college funding journey with a fee-only financial planning perspective. With clarity and confidence around your goals, you can live for today without worrying about tomorrow. Today's guest is perfect for helping you down your college funding journey. Cozy Whitman is not only a nationally known college coach and speaker, but is also located right here in Minnesota. Oddly enough, our first local guest, which is fantastic. Most of our viewers are local here, so that will be helpful. She has a diverse background, including being in EMT. She is currently a partner and college coach with College Inside Track. College Inside Track right here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area. Today, she is going to shed some light as much as she can in her in the 15 minutes around touring colleges. I know that's on everyone's landscape, on everyone's radar screen, and also how to maximize scholarship. And she's going to add a lot of value because she's going to be able to relate it to here in Minnesota, Minnesota College and Universities. Welcome, Cozy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
I got to ask, I know a lot of people are probably wondering, what is Cozy short for?
Well, it's short for Cosette, which no, my parents did not get from Les Mis, which is the next question that always comes. My mom is fond of telling people I'm way older than the musical. And I remind her I am not way older than the French novel. So, it came on early and just stuck.
Oh, well, that's great. It's certainly a great name and memorable. The other question many are probably wondering is, how does one go from saving lives, helping people by saving lives as an EMT, to helping families navigate the complex college admissions process?
Right. So I always joke that if parents are worried that their student has not chosen a major as a sophomore or junior in high school, or even as a senior in high school, to go out and look at my LinkedIn page, because I have had a long and varied career. EMT fit perfectly when my kids were little. I have five of those, super flexible. I could work evenings. Fast forward, had a couple of careers in the consulting space for a while. And then I actually started work with College Inside Track when I was laid off from one of my roles, and I had hired them to do three of our five searches. Wow. And they did amazing work for my family. They helped us stick to our college budget, what I had kind of in my own vision for what we could afford for a college education. They hit it square on. And I should probably mention, for the exact same budget, one of my kids went to the University of Minnesota. One of my kids went to Drake, which is a private school down in Des Moines. Wow. And one of my kids went to University of Missouri, Kansas City. So, and that was all based on my original theory of stay in the state, it's always cheaper. And what I didn't really know is I was cutting myself off from some of the best potential scholarship dollars. And so I just want people to know that you can look at a lot of different schools and still stick to your budget.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, that's normal. Many people think about Minnesota State Schools, so they don't know what they don't know, I guess.
That's right. And I want to be clear, there is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to send your kid to the University of Minnesota or Mankato State or Winona State. The question to always be asking is that the right fit for my student? And don't limit yourself to those schools if one of your primary drivers is the financials, because that's often why people send their kids off to those colleges. And the fact remains that 38% of kids who go off to school change schools at least once. And the second you do that, that adds about, on average, $14,000 to the cost of the degree. So that once cheap or inexpensive college experience you thought you were sending your kid off to now becomes a much more expensive venture.
Really? So just changing schools can cost $14,000, $15,000 all by itself.
That's right. And of that 38%, 45% of those kids changed twice, adding about $24,000 to the cost of your degree.
I'm a CFA, but that math gets complicated. It's the bottom line is some of those preconceived notions we have aren't true.
That's right. I think often people don't know how to define fit. And that would be probably my biggest thing I would like to get across here is really thinking about what style of school will help your student be their most successful student, right? Because in the state of Minnesota alone, we have schools as unique as say a St. John's or a St. Kate's or an Augsburg, all the way to a school like the University of Minnesota. And those vary significantly in teaching style, in size. And so really thinking about what is the right academic fit for my student? What is the right social fit for my student? And then ultimately, what's the right financial fit for our family is what drives a great decision.
Oh, excellent. And those are things that are pretty tough for most families to get their arms around. I'm guessing that's where you fit in, that that you know these schools and you know how to see if how many boxes they can check, so to speak.
That's right. And I want to point out that we actually work worldwide. We work nationwide. So we're not limited to just the schools in the state of Minnesota. And we're not limited to just the families in the state of Minnesota. So if people have family members around the country or even around the world, we certainly are open to helping and do those searches every day. And I think the point here is, you know, the good news is the world is big, right? Because we travel a lot now. We've blown the doors off of the globe, really. And kids feel like I could go anywhere. And the bad news is kids feel like they could go anywhere, right? So if we just even limit the scope to the US, that's about 3,000 schools plus or minus 200. So I think really starting to define fit in those three areas, but thinking about it always from two perspectives. What environment will help my student be the most successful student they can be? And then how is this school going to benefit the student from a launch perspective, right? So how do they help them get out of here? Because people don't, they have a tendency to think about college from the perspective of high school. And we think that they all teach the same way and they all will give you the exact same experience. And the reality is that's not true. So really, truly starting to define those three areas and then using things like a tour, for instance, to help figure out whether or not this school aligns.
Excellent. And I would imagine having your team allows you to handle all 3,000 schools. That those are a lot of SKUs, so to speak. That's a lot of options sometimes.
It is. It is for sure. You know, the team at College Inside Track has been doing their jobs for more than 15 years in varying capacities. So some of these folks, the consultants have come out of like an educational environment. Some have had their own consulting industry. And, you know, our senior class last year was 160 kids. That's sending kids off to a lot of schools and having evaluated many before they limited it to just the number they were going to apply to. So for sure, we track kind of the environments at those schools, the cultures, which has become much more daunting for families to try and figure out under the COVID pandemic. And so lots of good opportunities.
When you're talking to families about college touring, how has that changed for COVID? If you have juniors or maybe seniors, how should they approach that? And if you could, I know you work nationwide, if not worldwide, but also kind of highlight some of the Minnesota colleges and universities and what parents should know, what they should think about.
Yeah, for sure. So the worst style of tour to kind of take yourself on is the I walk behind the tour guide and keep my mouth shut tour. So there are schools starting to tour pre kind of that second lockdown that we had over the holidays. Schools like St. John's was touring, right? They just they're doing it on a smaller scale. And we've seen lots of schools kind of open the doors again to the idea that they'll be touring. And this would include most of the privates in the state of Minnesota. The U hasn't made any major announcements that I'm currently aware of, but we would expect a lot of the schools now with people getting vaccinated to start to open their doors to a different kind of tour. Interestingly, there are also third party folks popping up. We're actually recommending families go off to a third party tour group who hire students on that campus to physically tour the campus, and then it's like you're there, right? It's like you, and I want to point out the key to this group is that these are not kids that were chosen by the admissions team, right? These are actual just kids who were interviewed by this third party provider. And then you can hire them. I think it's like, $50 for the hour or whatever, to actually tour. So if you have, for instance, a senior right now, that would be a great opportunity. And this is a good opportunity for juniors who are starting to get antsy. But one of the things I will just say about juniors is we do anticipate that most colleges are going to have the opportunity to start to tour at the end of summer, if not by midsummer, and certainly by fall. And one of the things that I always recommend is that families try and tour while school is in session, because you get a different energy off that campus, right? And then while you're on that campus, do not be the stealthy family, right? You don't want to keep your mouth shut and just tour around, nod your head, raise your hand. Yeah, exactly. And so take advantage, even if it is the kid chosen by the admissions group. Once you get them off script, they are awesome. They are really informative. And ask them open-ended questions like, what do you love about going to school here? What don't you love so much about going to school here? Or what do you wish you would have known before you showed up? And then asking really good questions about, you're going to get the exact same tour at every single campus unless you ask a little bit more invasive questions. So like, here's our library, quiet floor on 3. You will find that at just about every campus in the country. Instead, ask about study groups. What does that look like, right? What's the project work look like on this campus? Is this a project-driven college, or is it lots of individual work, or is that defined by the degree program? Everybody will tell you they have wireless in their dorms. Well, congratulations, it's 2021. I would hope you have Wi-Fi in the dorms. How about when my laptop breaks down or I think I have a virus, how quick is IT to get back to me, right? Some of those really practical questions about being a student on that campus.
It's almost like they need to go in with a list of open-ended questions to kind of see behind the scenes.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And then lots of families don't know that they can take advantage of things like talking to the admissions group one-on-one, talking to professors or key faculty in the programs. Those are all great opportunities. Now, at schools as big as the University of Minnesota, you are never going to get an admissions person to sit down and chat with you one-on-one. That's not a thing. That's more of a St. Thomas, Augsburg, McAllister kind of thing.
The private schools.
Or a school like Winona State, you'll get to do a one-on-one conversation with them, right? So the key here is size, right? Mass. And it's understandable that the admissions group at the U would not want to sit down with, 40,000 potential students.
Yeah, that would be a lot.
Yes. But you can take advantage at big universities like the U of if you go out on their website under the specific programs to help you understand what is the gearing for this program. Engineering is a good example. Is this a school aimed at theory or practice? Are they prepping my student to go off and get a master's? Are they prepping my student to go out and get a job? And if the answer is job, who comes here to recruit? Right? So taking a really practical approach to this, on smaller campuses, you often can actually talk to professors or a dean of the program itself and ask those same hard questions. Because at the end of the day, what you want to try and understand is, what is my experience going to be like here? And this has actually dual purposes. So at a lot of schools around the country, and this would be true at St. Thomas, St. Olaf, Gustavus, I'll try and leave any of the colleges out.
You're going to hurt someone's feelings.
I know. Exactly. At these schools, right, having that interaction with both admissions and faculty actually brings scholarship dollars to the table. It's a category of scholarship called demonstrated interest. And everybody, I don't know anybody who steps up to pay full freight, right? Who steps up to say, yes, please, I would love to pay full price at college. And so consequently, understanding some of the ways that you can reduce your cost, most of those ways come on the front side around how you do your search that ends up building the amount of scholarship available at that school. And the schools are the number one providers of grant scholarship dollars. Now, this doesn't work at schools like the University of Minnesota. Again, they are not interested in talking to 40,000 students at admissions. And a lot of the programs also won't field those questions. Schools like the U, and this is true for most of the flagship state universities around the country, those schools base their merit aid or grant scholarships for who the student is based on the numbers. But the private schools, on the other hand, who give merit aid, and not all of them do, so be very clear before you dive into this pool, but schools that do give merit aid, those schools care about a lot of things, not just the numbers. And that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions and where people fall short or families fall short most often.
So it sounds like if you're allocating your time, is it worth going down the private scholarship path, or should they focus mainly on the school?
Oh, 100% people should focus on colleges, right? So when we think about this, Mark, I would put it like an upside down pyramid. When I present, this is how it's presented. The first two tiers of a four-tier pyramid, right? The biggest, broadest bands sit at the top. Those are the colleges. So how you do your search matters. Understanding who can bring the best money to the table, and then how does your student align with their average student? Because the colleges care about themselves. They're giving money away because the student helps them from a business perspective.
Absolutely.
Understanding how a student aligns with the average student of a college will help you understand if your student's a little stronger than their average student, you get a little bit more than the average merit aid package at that college. So understanding those things. And then tier two would be after your student is accepted at a school, many colleges offer second opportunities to increase that merit aid package, and they should take advantage of it. Why do kids miss that? Because guess what? The colleges often communicate that through email. And high school students are terrible email readers. So they should be watching their email. Tier three would be local scholarships, like maybe your local bank or a community club like Rotary or Lions Club. Those guys give scholarships. Why are they number three? Well, it tends to be lower amounts, and they tend to be one-shot deals. Like you get it once and then it goes away, right? Where when the colleges give money, it traditionally lasts for all 4 years, and it is in much larger sums. And then bottom of the barrel, and frankly, where we would not recommend anyone spend their time, are in the private scholarship space, right? So no scholarship Sundays where you sit your kid in front of the computer and tell them to go find scholarship dollars. Huge waste of time.
So allocate your time where the money is and where you're going to have the most success. Yeah, really good tips.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should mention, I do free consultations for families all the time. So if people want to understand their students' top strengths and how to leverage that to reduce the cost of college, I'm happy to do that. And people can reach me through our website.
And that's a College Inside Track. And we're going to have your website listed in the podcast description. Any other tips for them to contact you? Just access your website and send a contact request?
Yeah, right in the middle of our homepage is a get free advice button. And if you click on that, it'll take you out to my calendar and you can request your time right from there.
Awesome. A lot of good tips to make a good experience for the child and also save some money, which we love here. Before we close, we're almost out of time. Was being a mom of five, you've probably seen it all. What was better experience for your current position? What you learned at College Inside Track or being a mom of five?
So at the time, right? So I didn't actually join the team until my youngest was graduating from high school. So
okay.
She was wrapping her thing up. But part of the reason I joined the team, I actually pitched myself in to College Inside Track because the stuff that I learned along the way and the things that I learned with student number three, who was our first kind of traditional college search, because I should mention of our five, one didn't go to school. He actually works big construction and he's happy and I'm glad for him. So when we started doing, and one of our kids was a D1 volleyball player, so that was a completely different search. But when we started traditional search number one, which was student number three,
okay.
I learned a whole bunch then. Student number four, totally different than student number three. I learned way more. And by the time I got to number five, I was like, wow, there is so much to know. And most families don't know any of it.
No. It's such a big investment. And to be honest, most people spend more time on their fantasy golf or fantasy football than they do doing their due diligence for colleges.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's primarily because, again, people try and do college search like they did their own college search, like the industry hasn't changed at all. And I always tell people, trying to do college search today, like you did it back in the day, is a little like walking out to your car and trying to crank it to start. Right? The industry has evolved and has actually changed significantly in the last 20 years. And the landscape right now, changing by the day. Yeah. So it is very hard for families to keep up.
Absolutely. It's like a part-time job. That's where having a coach and advocate comes in. Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time. And I feel like we need to talk to you longer because there is so much to cover. We'll have to have you back.
I would love to come back. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for the time, Cozy. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And thank you, parents. Thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for sharing your college funding journey with me. Until next time.